Hello, everybody, and welcome to Scientology, episode 85. How in the hell are you doing? I know what you're thinking. Hey, wait a minute. This isn't Sunday or Monday. This is Tuesday. Paul said he was going to start doing this on Sunday a while back, and then he said it's going to be Sunday or Monday, and now it's fucking Tuesday. What kind of phony baloney cult am I casually a part of? One day a week, kind of, while I walk my dog or drive my car or take a dump. This is not the way that you run a podcast or some kind of group memberhood thing that you claim to be a part of. Scientology didn't get started like this. Does this guy think that I'm going to just give him all of my secrets or let him have sex with my wife or my daughter or blow him or whatever? That's not how you do it. That's not how you build some kind of a empire where we all wear the same kind of shoes and cut our nuts off and try to spiritually transport to a comet. That's not the way you do it. You get more disciplined. You do what you say you're going to do. Or you have some good excuse for it, right? Like, I should have showed up and been like, I realize that the podcast is late, but I was visited by an angel who took me deep into the forest and had me look inside of a bucket. And in the bucket, there was a golden coin, and that coin had the words written on it, you're a winner. And that was for me, and I brought it back here, and that's where this coin came from. Never mind the Coney Island stamp on the other side of it. I wasn't fucking around. And then that story gets embellished over time by more people who follow whatever drunk with power decrees I've made while I'm dressing up like some kind of little admiral on a boat that you guys all paid for, having a bunch of interns clean things, just picking the hot ones for myself, the ladies. I'm not, you know. Anyway, that hypothetical basically ran its course. How's it going, guys? I know it's a little late, and you know what? Life happens. I got busy. Yesterday I released my print for my second print release of 2020 for one of my paintings of an owl. This one's called Archimedes. It's 18 by 24, and I was doing that, so I launched that. Well, announced pre-orders for it, basically. So I'm going to do 50 of these, which is twice as many prints as the octopus painting, Undeniable, that I had made before. And so this is just me trying to keep that ball rolling. And so what that ended up doing was kind of consuming my entire day, was juggling that. And then once you sort of make some kind of an announcement like that on all the different forms of social media, then you end up being kind of, what do you say? How do you call it? Even more strung out on my phone than normal, you know? So I was on my phone real hard all day. From like, I did the announcement at 3 p.m. So I gave away one of the artist proofs through like a random drawing of people who participated in this whole deal, where you like repost some of my artwork to your social media, be it Facebook or Instagram or both. And I announced that winner at 3 p.m. It's a friend of mine who I know from way back, and she lives in Portland, Oregon, so that print will be going there, and I'm very excited that she's going to have it, because she said her son is a real big fan of the painting, and he is, yeah, so that's great. I'm happy that's where it's going. And she said she wasn't really able to, you know, pull the money together to buy it. And that's another thing that I'm a little sensitive about, too, while I'm on the subject of it. It's like, these prints are $200, and that's because they almost cost $100 to make each one. So, it's just the only... I wanted to charge $180, but when I started doing the numbers, it's like, I got to at least make a little, you know... That's just the way you make... I can't justify it any other way. But it's a very high quality print. It's not anything that I should feel overly conflicted about, because Dude, I put like 100 hours into that painting, and this is a 50, limited release, 50 prints, numbered sign. So I don't know who I'm trying to convince. It's not you, it's me for sure. But anyway, yeah. So from 3 o'clock until like the time I went to sleep was almost a fucking blur of just being on the internet and obsessing about myself and how, I don't know, walking that line between hating myself and being overly proud of myself, and then just being on Facebook, and you're on Facebook for more than 15 minutes, that's just, ugh, what the hell is that even? It's just exercising like intense patience and typing out comments to nonsense and then erasing them before I press post, because it's just everybody's wild ass opinions. And anyway, I was just very undisciplined yesterday because I got sucked into the internet and promotion for my artwork, which is my job right now. So that you could say that I was stuck at the office, I guess, to a certain degree. But that's what happened yesterday. So, and then I got to a certain point where I was just like, I can't do the podcast today because I am a lazy fucking child. And that's not fair to call myself that, but that's just how I viewed it. And I was like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And I'll do it first thing in the morning, which is also not true because it's 3:11 right now. That's a time and a band. And I waited. This is how I have to get things done, just to give you an understanding of the way, like, if I'm really avoiding something, what I have to do is put it in front of my exercises and my stretching and my meditating for the day. So when I wake up, most of the days that I wake up, I wake up pretty much every day, I would say. When I wake up, my rhythm is I get up, brush my teeth, pee, whatnot, and then I sit down to meditate. Do that for 15 minutes. I use a little meditation timer so it's not such an aggressive noise, and it also gives you this nice little countdown to the beginning of the timer. I'm really getting way into this timer here, but I'm just explaining to you what goes on. So I get like 30 seconds, and then the timer starts, and then I've got like 15 minutes, and then it's a gentle little dong that gets me out of it, and then I go right into stretching, and then I go right into exercising. And that usually takes me about an hour and a half. And this is something that I try to do every single day. And I'm really, 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 at least very disciplined about the exercising. I do not miss a day doing that. Sometimes I miss a day meditating, sometimes I miss a day stretching, but I always do the exercising. I get really weirded out if I don't. I got this whole, some of you guys who have been listening to the podcast for a long time know that if I miss a day of exercising, I have to shave my beard either off or into some very bizarre configuration as a personal humiliation punishment for myself for not exercising in some way. So it's important to me to do that. So if I'm really avoiding doing something, the best way for me to get it done is to say, well, I can't do my exercises until I do that thing. So then I'm gonna have to do it because I gotta get to my exercising. And so that's what I'm doing now. So I woke up a number of hours ago. And I'm only now getting to this thing right now, which is at like, again, 3:11, which it was a couple of minutes ago. Now it's 3:13. Nobody's paying attention to that. So it's being, yeah. So anyway, that's, and it's thrown my whole fucking day off because of how undisciplined I am with that shit. So, and I understand that if I lose my discipline, if I don't keep my shit together, then I'm setting a bad example for all of you guys who think that I got my shit together. And then you're like, well, if Paul didn't have to do it, why do I have to do it? And then you just start speeding through traffic lights and punching old ladies on the street. Maybe that's how Rick Moranis got hit. I don't know. Maybe somebody was just like, well, Paul, the podcast late. Hey, that's that guy from fucking Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I'm going to smash his head. Who knows? I don't know who listens to this. I know that you do. You know who you are. I don't know who you are. I probably do, but I can't be with you right now to be able to look in the mirror and ask the question, who am I? Spiraling out of control. Today is my mother's birthday. I think I maybe mentioned that. Happy birthday, Mom, if you're listening. And all of you should say happy birthday, Paula Odo. If you didn't know that, my mom's name is Paula. Yeah. My name's Paul, in case you also are completely oblivious as to what's going on. I'm not necessarily named after her. Her dad's name was Paul. So we got a whole alliteration and lack of original naming going on in my family. My dad's name is Joseph. My middle name is Joseph. I also have another middle name because I'm real special like that. So my name is Paul Jack Joseph Odo. His dad's name was Jack. So I'm carrying a bunch of people's names around. But anyway, that was a fun way to turn my mom's birthday into a thing about me. You self-centered fucking maniac. Okay, so, yeah, speaking of which, I went down to Texas this last week. It was really nice to be able to go. I went to Texas because, my brother and sister-in-law, they were down there for a few weeks staying with my parents to get away from the wildfires and on the West Coast. And so it was a good time to go, you know. And I, just so we could all be together, because my other brother lives in Houston, so we all were able to spend some time together as a family, and that hasn't happened in really about a year. I know we've all had a hard time with that, just due to some large-scale sickness that we've all been kind of dealing with. Speaking of, I got my second COVID test before I went down, just to make sure that I got that done. It was a very fast turnaround this time. It was like, the last time I did it, it took a week to get the results back, and this time, it was just the next day, I think it was. Really tapped the old brain with that one. Leaned into it. Fucking tickled the base of my mind. It's a little, if you haven't had the COVID test, it's awkward. It is. There's a bunch of different ones now, I guess, that you can order the test to your house. You could do just the inside the nostril swab. You don't have to necessarily like really fucking deep dick it. But the doctor told me that the ones where they really get back in there, those are the most accurate. So you really got to go knuckle to nose. And it's hard to not make a sexual joke in those situations. I feel like... Like, when you're in it, you're just like, ah, Jesus. But I feel like it would be fun to moan sexually. Just to kind of throw people. But then you might startle the person, and then they go deeper and just puncture that little brain barrier that you... Everybody saw that one article where they're like, somebody got injured during a COVID test, and the sack of fluid that separates their brain juices from the rest of their body juices, like, opened up, and I guess you were... leaking your memories down your throat or some shit. But, yeah. It's tempting. It's tempting to be inappropriate in situations like that. That would be about as weird as it gets, I think, to do something like that. Really, to make an even more awkward... Make an awkward situation even more awkward, you know? Oh, man, what if you actually did have an orgasm? Like, by that. You know somebody does. Because there's some... Everybody gets off on some weird shit, right? Not everybody, but... people do. Stuff turns people on that you would not expect. I mean... feet fetishes and... the like. You know? You stumble onto some strange things when you're clicking through all those porn links. You know? Just seeing... God knows what. I'm sure there's some kind of COVID thing... I mean, man, hey, look, if there's people that dress up like fucking high school mascots and shit and bang each other, like, that's definitely out there. COVID test cum? Orgasming through nostril penetration? Oh, that's so weird. And then you gotta go order a bunch of like home test kits now. And you're like, I guess this is my fucking thing. But then it's never as good as the real shit. Like, you really need to like be in there with somebody else doing it to you. And then you gotta find somebody who accepts your alternative lifestyle, and then 50 years later, we're all gonna be marching in some movement to accept nostril comers. Boy, sexual things can spin so far and quickly out of control. Anyway, so I was in Texas seeing my family. That's how we got to that. So on the way down, I flew. It was the first time I had flown in the whole coronavirus time, except for the very first day of the lockdown when I was coming back from Los Angeles. But I didn't wear a mask. LaGuardia was a ghost town, and LaGuardia has really taken this downtime to fix itself. It's really nice to see. That is a updated airport. They have really done a good job with LaGuardia. It looks like a modern fucking airport, where it used to look... I mean, the last time I think I was at LaGuardia, it looked like a goddamn Greyhound bus terminal with, like, a sandwich stand that you didn't trust. You know, you're like... I used to fly United at LaGuardia, and it would make me so mad at how shitty their little area was. It's like, you guys don't even have a bar. What kind of maniac company doesn't do that? You don't even have a fucking place to get alcohol at the airport? That's like one of the most necessary places to have a bar. Is a, you know... I mean, there should be... Yeah, it's like... That should be required, you know? But they've revamped it. They've taken the opportunity. And a lot of places have taken this downtime to just sort of be like, well, we're not operational right now, so let's just work on ourselves and renovate and improve. It's a lot like how I feel like I've done with myself during this. I've renovated myself the same way that LaGuardia has renovated itself, and the way a lot of other businesses have been like, all right, well, let's not sit on our hands and waste this time. Let's do something with it. And so, yeah, that's a good way to go with it. If you have, you know, everything's an opportunity. Good on you, LaGuardia. But anyway, it was nice. It was still kind of a ghost town, though. And everybody on my plane, it was actually a fairly full flight, which was odd, going down to Houston from New York. And, yeah, there wasn't any, like, distancing on the plane. I sat right next to a chick, and, everybody was wearing their masks, everybody's wearing their face coverings or whatever it was. I had my bandana on, wrapped tight, and I'll get to that later on, you judgmental fuck. But the chick in the seat next to me was this young Hispanic girl. She had a mask on, but I kept kind of glancing. She had the window seat. And she actually, I sat down in the window seat, not even thinking about it. And then she came up and had no problem telling me that I was in her seat. She did it in kind of a sweet, cute little, you know, feminine way. She wasn't like, hey, fucker. She was just like, I think you're in my seat. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I am. So anyway, I swapped it. I prefer the aisle anyway. I actually chose the aisle. I just, you see a window and you want to sit next to it. It's just a instinctual child thing, I guess, in your brain. But anyway, so I didn't think anything of it. But then I kept noticing while we were in the middle of the flight, when we're, you know, about halfway there or something, I'd look out the window and she was looking out the window and I'd see the side of her face and she didn't have her fucking mask on. And I was like, what are you doing? And then I'd look around and everybody else had their mask on. There was one, you know, older dude with his nose sticking out the top of it, but it's like, hey, he probably had one nut hanging out too. You let that shit go. But he didn't do it on purpose. But this girl sitting next to me, she had her mask like off, and you could tell it was kind of like sort of trying to hide her face. Because, I mean, how interesting are clouds after you've seen 100 of them, you know? She's just like looking out the window, and kind of, you could tell she's kind of trying to get away with not wearing a mask. And it really started to boil my blood a little bit, just because I was like, hey, I just went and got my fucking face stabbed with a swab so that I'm not going to go down to Texas and potentially infect my family with this plandemic or whatever the fuck you want to call it. So what's your shit? And so I sat there for a minute. I was like, do I want to like tap her on the arm and deal with it? I can't just let it go, because that's like, it is something that bothers me. And also, she's supposed to be fucking doing that. So I went up and I went to the bathroom. I got up and went to the bathroom just to kind of like think about it, and also to look around at the rest of the people on the flight. Because if there was like a bunch of people doing that, I was actually going to be a real tattletale and just kind of tell the flight attendants, like, hey, can we do a sweep, you know, and just double check these masks? But that seemed like a chicken shit pussy way of dealing with it. So I went to the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror, and I had my bandana over my face, which was a Texas flag. Kind of made me feel like a bit of a masked vigilante type. And I was like, you're kind of an intimidating looking guy right now. Don't worry about this. So I just walked back to the seat after I peed and washed my hands and used a napkin to open and close the door like a real dainty fella. And as I stood there before I sat down in the seat, she like looked up at me, and she looked up at me without her goddamn mask on and just smiled right at me. And I just tapped my face. I just like looked at her right in the eyes and just tapped my face covering. And she's like, oh, and she put it back on. So that's all it was. And so I sat down and I felt better about it, and she kept it on the rest of the time. And didn't have to, you know, scold her or anything. But it's just weird. Maybe she did forget. Who knows? Or I don't know. Anyway, it was on my mind. And I deliberately wrote down in my journal, do not embellish this story. Don't make it out to be more than it needs to be. It was just a moment. I don't know why I had to write that down, but I was like, felt like I was going to be like, and then I stood up and I told the whole plane that I saved all their lives. It's like, I'm not sure what that was, but I thought it was worth mentioning to you. Anyway, yeah, so being down in Texas, I mostly stayed at my parents' house the whole time, but I did go to HEB, which is a giant grocery store that would make people in poor parts of the world shit themselves if they weren't already dying of starvation and had no shit to shit out. But most of the people were wearing their masks and doing the right thing. I saw one guy not wearing a mask in the grocery store. Just one dude. And he seemed like an oil field working roughneck type. Let's just say he didn't strike me as a fan of MSNBC or book learning. But he didn't have a mask on and looked like he might call you a homo if you brought it up. And nobody did bring it up. But that's, I think that's the thing. 99% of people were doing the right thing. Like 99% of people were, you know, masked up. And sure, a lot of them had their noses hanging over the top, but they were still fixing it when they got to the checkout lane, you know? So fuck it. It's honestly better than nothing. I was happy to see that. I didn't hear anybody bitching. That's not to say that they didn't all do it begrudgingly, like children being told to brush their teeth by their parents, but they were essentially behaving, and I'll take it, I gotta tell you. As long as most people are mostly doing the right thing, I think that's the best we can hope for. The alternative, you know, is a bunch of annoying little tattletales virtue signaling and filming themselves like quote-unquote owning some idiot at a fucking small bakery in California, or chastising people because their mask isn't as safe as somebody else's, you know? Look, I've always been a guy who's happy to just make a passing grade in the class. That's my attitude. So if we can all get a 70 to 75% on this test, I'm good. C+, that's passable. Especially considering this is a huge group project that we're all working on, and we all know only one or two people does all the work on those group projects. So if we just make a passing grade, I am honestly like, hey, I'll fucking take that shit, dude. We'll get through it like that. And maybe you expect higher, but all you can really do is control yourself. I don't know. The other thing about mask quality, like I was saying, I wear a bandana. I also get tested periodically. I've been tested twice now. If I got COVID, if I tested positive, I would use an N95 mask if I needed to leave my room while I, you know, hopefully got through it. I've had people tell me that the bandana isn't a great mask, and, you know, to that, I say, okay, I'm not trying to argue. You're right. but it's better than nothing, like I said. And that's where I land on this. Better than nothing is okay with me. It's an effort. Plus, I get to feel like an old-timey bandit. This will be a small window, again, hopefully, where we can all dress up like old-timey train robbers, and I'm going to have my fun. I don't like the idea of looking like I just freaked out and ran out of an operating room. I just don't like that look. I also don't want to order a fucking Adidas mask or help the delusional Etsy sellers who took a break from their quilting to cash in on the, you know, pandemic. And I got a lot of nerve. I got a lot of nerve picking on these DIY craft people. I stand right next to those people at Michael's Arts and Crafts Store. Okay, well, I mean, 6 feet or whatever. We try. There's things on the ground we try to all stand on. But still, they are my sisters and gay brothers in crafting. I enjoy the bandana. It's a versatile square of cloth. I have a Texas flag one, like I said. I enjoy that. I actually just bought an American flag bandana, and I almost didn't. I hesitated because it seemed very right-wing or, like, Republican. My friend Joe List mentioned that to me a while back. He said, the strange thing is that the right wing has claimed the American flag. And I say, fuck that. They only get to claim it if you let it go. So I bought that American flag bandana, and I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it because I am an American. And I'm proud to be. I'm proud to be a free-thinking, contrarian, argumentative, often annoying citizen of the United States who is happy with a 70% effective attack on the pandemic. And I support a woman's right to have an abortion if she chooses, and all that stuff. I dislike the right wing and the left wing. I don't like anybody who just fucking makes up their mind before they've heard what we're even talking about all the way. So I'll wear my American flag bandana as a less than the most effective face covering. And I will tell Republicans who think that it's not necessary that they're selfish dumbasses. And I will tell lefties who say I'm some kind of proud boy who isn't being as considerate as I could be to the general public that they're all narrow-minded, judgmental assholes, just like their Fox News watching counterparts, which they are. You think watching CNN and MSNBC 24 hours a day on a loop is any less crazy than watching Fox News on a 24-hour loop? You're just watching a TV show. That's all you're doing. You're watching a TV show that tells you you're right. That's it. And maybe that's what you want to watch. Because most TV shows are shitty anyway, so. Anyway, I'll wear my American flag bandana, and I'll wear it with pride, because being an American, to me, means getting a passing grade and riding that line between caring about your fellow man, but also not being such a conforming people pleaser that you forget to tell a few of them to go fuck themselves here and there, you know? I think that's probably what it's about. Anyway, I ate like a goddamn 13-year-old when I was in Texas. I had a bunch of comfort food while I was home. Lots of cookies and snacks. I ate Mexican food and barbecue. We had a big fish dinner one night from this place that we like. It was really great. So much good food, but again, I just felt like I was getting soft. Every time I go back to Texas, specifically to my parents' place, I just feel like I'm getting soft. I always intend to cook a meal for everybody whenever I go see my family, but I know my parents love to do that so much, it almost feels bad, like, if I were to try to or something. What else did we do? We had, because of that fish meal, the seafood meal that we had fish tacos one day for lunch as, like, you know, using the leftovers. And they were good, but fish tacos are one of the most stressful tacos, in my opinion. I can't eat fish, aside from sushi, and not, like, chew it 100 extra times trying to make sure there are no tiny little bones in there. I swallowed a fish bone when I was a little kid, and it kind of got briefly stuck in my throat, and it freaked me out ever since. Like, sushi, I trust. I can eat that and not even think about it, because those guys that prep that shit are like surgeons. But just some dude frying fish, he gives it a glance, maybe two if it's grilled. I mean, I like fish, but I always choose other proteins, not cum, over fish because, like, the bones. There is bone danger. We have bone threat, which is coincidentally the same issue that you get when you're concerned with cum. Gross. I'm sorry. Sometimes you just go for the easy joke, you know? And on my goddamn mother's birthday, I am just a fucking dirtbag. Anyway, where are we at here? Sunshiny, day slipping away. It's 3:34, 3:35. Thank you, clock, for correcting me immediately. What the fuck was I talking about? Fish tacos. Fish tacos, they're good. They're good, but they're dumb. They're a little bit dumb as a food. Yeah, just because of the bones, in my mind. At least... When you get fish tacos, they're usually in soft corn, not corn, but soft tortillas, you know? That's at least something that takes the dumbness away. Because if we're ranking food by how stupid it is, hard taco shells are way up there in stupid food. I like my food to be fragile, please. You get one bite out of those, and then they shatter. I don't like my meal to fracture and crumble. It's fucking weird. I mean, they fixed that with the double-decker taco at Taco Bell, where they wrap it with a soft tortilla with, like, a layer of refried bean adhesive between it. But that's the only sensible way to eat a hard-shell taco, is wrapped in a flexible tortilla cast. And then the only thing more absurd than a hard-shell taco by itself is a hard, flat taco. Like a hard, flat tortilla. Have you ever had one of these? Like the... What am I, a fucking talking to a goddamn audience? I'm expecting you to nod back at me. It's like, yeah, I had one of those before. No, those flat fucking hard tortillas. Every time I get those, or we're trying to make some kind of a meal out of that, it's like, what are we even doing? That's like... It's so ridiculous to try to eat that shit. That's like not even a food. It's like the last obstacle on Ultimate Ninja Warrior or something. It's like, you fucking... swing the moving monkey bars and then run over a bunch of, like, moving platforms and then try to eat a hard-shell flat taco with shit on the top of it as fast as you can, and then you can ring the bell. It doesn't make any sense. It's like the butterfly swimming stroke of the food world. It's so inefficient and ridiculous. It's amazing that this has continued to be a thing that anybody keeps doing, enough for it to be commonly known. It's very strange. I genuinely get angry if that's what we're doing. If I see some of those, like, laying out, it's like, oh, are we gonna try to fucking do a trick here with our food? I'll just crunch that up, put it in a bowl, and we'll all just have it like hard pieces of a salad. You know, it's like, it's just dumb. It's so stupid. It would be more effective to throw the taco ingredients up in the air and try to catch them as they fall with your face. Ugh, Jesus. Anyway, I had a great time being down in Texas. Saw my family, again, stayed home. Had some people come over, but we all sat outside by the fire and, like, you know, basically took it seriously. Had some cigars and beers, and it was nice. And I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back surrounded by all my projects and my paintings and my things that I need to take care of, this podcasting being one of them for sure. But yeah, yesterday... I meant to get this thing out, man, but I was just on the internet all day pushing those print sales like a real influencer, you know, which caused me to get all sick of myself and emotionally depleted. It really is fucked, man. Being on Facebook for more than 15 minutes, like I said, it's just an exercise in restraint and generosity of patience. I had to keep almost posting, but then deleting. It's so dumb. I did get to see some, like, positive election-type things. Positive news or feelings about Trump when I was in Texas. I spoke to some people that I know who are, like, pretty right-leaning people. And, or, like, officially, you know, you could just say that they're Republican. Although, I think it's the type that... I've made the distinction before, especially to people here in New York that are almost... 100% all left and different levels of intensity of the left, that it's like a lot of people just vote Republican. the same way that a lot of people just vote Democrat. It's not like they do it because they necessarily agree with the person. It's just their team, you know? So these are some of those people that I was talking to. And even those people, like, friends of mine, like, their general belief was, like, Trump's done. He's not going to do it. And I hope that they're fucking right. I really do. Because, dude. And this was the thing that actually caught my attention. Was one of my friends, he made the point that really stood out to me. And if Trump does lose, which, again, I'm really hoping that he does. And I'll get more into that if you're kind of griping at me right now. But the reason that I say that, and the reason that I was, I felt good about what he said, was he said that he's just sick of arguing with his wife. He's sick of his home life being affected by politics and really, like, torn up because of Donald Trump. And I think that if Trump loses, I think more than anything else, that's probably what will shift the tide for him, is that everybody is so sick of dealing with it. They're just so tired of this arguing and this fucking nonsense and truly, like, domestic disputes for like 4 years. This is like 4 years of straight up like couples arguing. That's basically what this has been for the vast majority of the United States, is four straight years of like people not getting along with each other. And I think we're just sick of that. Thankfully, that it had to do all of this stuff, the fucking the pandemic and the riots and all this shit that, you know, look, you don't have to blame that on Trump, and I'm not really necessarily trying to make it about him, but that fucking dude didn't do anything to try to help it. You got to admit that. The dude is the textbook definition of a con man. Like, straight up, just look at his entire body of work and who he is, and just looking at that person, that is just not a person. And you know what? I've gone on and on about this for way too long. But one of my favorite things that people, one of my favorite things that anybody ever talks about with the pandemic as it relates to Trump and like the media and everything like that, is that they're like, the pandemic is not that bad. They're just, it's not that bad. And all it is just this grand conspiracy to make Donald Trump look bad, which is so insane, first of all, to think that that might be real, right? Like, the whole entire world ganged up just to make Trump look bad. We organized everything. All of the different media outlets are communicating with each other, with all the local people and all the people on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and everything is all a gigantic conspiracy to spin this global pandemic to be bad PR for Donald Trump, who hasn't hurt anybody. He's never done anything wrong. It's just this goofy, goofy, out of control distortion of reality. That's just not true. However, I will say this. If it were a conspiracy against Donald Trump for those reasons, if it were a gigantic just scam to make that guy look bad to get him out of office, I'm on board with that. That's a great idea. We'll never be able to pull it off, but go for it. Because fuck that guy. Fuck him. I'm sick of fucking arguing with everybody. I'm sick of you not being smart enough to understand that he shouldn't be the fucking president of the United States. I don't care what kind of, like, fucking nonsense you're worried about. It's not as bad as what we got going on right now. So, anyway. I hope he loses. And I hope that whatever it is that you catastrophize about doesn't happen as a result of it, if you're a supporter of him. But do my mom a favor on her birthday and just vote. And when I say just vote, I mean just vote for Joe Biden and that fucking chick. Harris. Biden-Harris. Whatever. Just fucking do it. Simply so we can stop thinking about this so much all the time. Just for that. Just so we can fucking chill for a while. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I think I was thinking about some of this stuff, and I kept typing the word awful into my phone, and awful kept being autocorrected by my phone to Sergio. I don't know why, but it happened multiple times. I was misspelling the word awful, but not by much. Like, you would think a learning machine would know that I was trying to write awful and just change it to the correct spelling of awful, but no, it went directly to the word Sergio. So somebody way up there in autocorrect land has been very greatly hurt by a Sergio. They think he's awful. So my heart goes out to you, and possibly to Sergio as well. He probably had his reasons. He is a dynamic character with a name like that. You're going to hurt some people, you know? You can't be a Sergio and not break some hearts. That's just a fact. I got on Reddit night before last, doing a stream where I was varnishing this new painting I just wrapped up, my pelican painting. And I needed to get back on there because I haven't streamed in a while. And it was good. Saw some, you know, chatted with some people that I hadn't seen in a while, which is always a delight. Oh, I've made some really fun, fast friends there on Reddit. I really enjoy chatting with everybody. And I was actually included in a weird club for people with over 100 awards on Reddit, which means literally nothing. Reddit has all these weird secret areas that aren't even remotely interesting. But I'm included in them now because I've been given so many awards for streaming, for the amount of people that have tuned in and chatted with me and stuff. And I was in this little corner of Reddit called the 100 Awards Club or something, and it's funny because it's just mostly people who post nudes. It's just a bunch of people that are like, I got into this club because I show my pussy. It's like, I got into this club because I upload videos of sucking my boyfriend's dick or whatever. And I'm like, I paint pictures and I talk to people. Hello, porn people. How do you do? Maybe I'll draw some of them. That could be fun. It's good. Reddit's a fun place to fucking kill some time. I saw a video that you probably saw by now. The 6-minute video of a guy in Utah being stalked by a fucking mountain lion on a jogging trail. That was very stressful. The guy kept just being like, fuck you, get away from me, come on, dude. And he's like walking backwards, and he's on this rock trail, and you kept being like, man, grab some of those rocks and throw it at that shit. But apparently that's, I don't know, he was supposedly doing the right thing, like keeping his face towards it and like not turning away, because I think every time he tried to turn away, it lunged at him. It's also hard to remember to do the right things when you're shitting yourself out of fear. That was terrifying. It's fucking terrifying. It was like, I think it was kind of a younger mountain lion, but still, dude. Like, a big house cat will fuck you up. Something like that. It might not kill you, but you would be better off not being mauled by it. So to me, it was mostly just an ad for not jogging and owning a small, lightweight handgun. I mean, and you know what's even weird is I found the dude's Instagram. I looked into it because I wanted to see like what he wrote about it or see different things. And what it turns out is the guy, he is a gun dude. Like almost every single, I'd say, week, he posts a picture of like his wallet, a pistol, a pocket knife, and his keys, which I've seen other people do before too. That's like, you didn't bring your fucking little gun out there while you're jogging out in the wilderness? Just didn't have one then. And, you know, whatever. That just, that's how you go down, I guess. You know, you try to identify yourself as something, and then you're going to end up being fucking made to look goofy. Like, that's, I always have a gun. He died without his gun. There was some other things I wanted to talk about. I'm trying to remember. Logical fallacy. I was looking at one. I kind of fell off on that one. Circular argument was I think the one that I had decided that I liked this week. If I could pull it up, because I remember the circular argument one is, what was that? It's like, oh, well, my mouse has died. That's unfortunate. Okay. So Maybe I'll have to look it up on my phone then. This is all good podcasting time. People like listening to you search for things on your phone. It's really why people subscribe. It's what most people wait for, is the time where I search around for things. Yeah, circular argument was, well, try to remember it like a fucking grown-up. It's something about, like, when a person's argument is just, here it is. It's just repeating what they had assumed before. It's, so when you get, like, a circular argument, it's, you're just, all right, this one's actually a little, slightly confusing. So when a person's argument is just repeating what they've already assumed beforehand, it's not arriving at any new conclusion, is what it says. It's called a circular argument or a circular reasoning, because it's like, if someone says the Bible is true, it says so in the Bible. That's a circular argument. They're assuming that the Bible only speaks truth, and so they trust it to truthfully report that it speaks the truth, because it says that it does. Okay. If A is true because B is true, B is true because A is true. Does that make sense? Another example is like circular reasoning. According to my brain is reliable. So that's, again, so many of these logical fallacies are very interesting to me because you just see them everywhere. You just see them all the time, especially in like arguments online and it's just such a fucking real thing, man. Like, yeah, so circular argument is the logical fallacy of this week. And if you can think of a good example, write to me and let me know what it is. I would like to know what you found out. There was something somebody else sent me that I wanted to try to get to. It was like a question or a comment. I'm trying to find what it was. And then we got to wrap this up because we're right at like 47 minutes at this point. I want to make sure that I get to it and close it out. Okay, so this is what it was. All right, so my friend wrote me on Instagram and she said, I have long thought of people as being gemstones, but that we are each in various stages of cutting and polishing. When you first meet someone, you likely see a shiny, pretty, polished side. And as you get to know them better, you start seeing depths and other facets. And there are fuzzy, sandy, unpolished rock sides that they haven't developed yet. Some people are like geodes, bland, boring, unremarkable rocks on the outside, but they have vibrant, beautiful crystals fully developed and gleaming inside. That's all old for me. New is that I'm starting to see that some people may be pearls, something horrible and dirty that's never been addressed, with years of layered coatings of lacquer. They look whole, polished, and beautiful, but deep at their core is that dirt they are covering up. Troublesome thought. How do you cure, fix, help, polish a pearl? That's all. There are no hidden messages or commentary here at all. I'm genuinely and without motive just tossing a thought at you. Huh. Well, that's actually a very interesting observation, and I think that's true. I think, to me, what I would take from that, if I were to kind of make that own observation and realization, is that that's more of a statement about being who you are now rather than who you were in the past, right? Because that's almost like, are you talking about a psychopath or are you talking about somebody who has just grown? Because if you're talking about a psychopath, if you're talking about somebody who's just all smoke and mirrors and they're not really anything of substance, or a person that you should be associating with, then you just figure that out and you cut that person out of your life. However, if what you've experienced with this person is wonderful and great and they're this lovely part of your life that you enjoy, and then you find out through talking to them that they've, you know, done some fucked up shit in their past, maybe this is just an exercise in forgiveness or understanding and knowing that human beings are flawed and that we've all had moments that we're not proud of. And there's a very good chance that you do too. Almost impossible for there to not be a chance that you do too. We've all had things that we've done in our lives that are not things we're proud of, and we've all been through shit. And if we haven't, we will at some point. Or we'll be tested in ways that we will very likely not pass as well as we would like to. Maybe we'll just get a 70 to 75% passing grade on it, and we keep moving forward. But I think that I would take the moment, or take that observation, and try to see what it says about you also. If you maybe are being a little bit too harsh on a person. And that's not to say that you are. I would just consider it. I would just really try to think about where that perception comes from. Is it something that you can let go? Or is it something you just need to know more about? Or is it something that makes you like... just more aware that the world is not a perfect place and that it's very complicated and that we've all got a lot of layers to ourselves, you know? Because the only thing real is right now, really. And that's what we deal with. So if you've met somebody in your life and they seem good and they do good things, you know, you got to just assume that they'll keep doing good things. And learning something bad about a person, that's almost just like another level of intimacy also, you know. Maybe they're just trusting you with that information because they see something good in you that they can confide in, and maybe that just speaks to you as being a good influence in their life, you know. And maybe they're trying to rise to your level rather than bring you down to theirs or what they used to be. So I think when I hear you say that, or what you wrote, it kind of strikes me as pessimistic, I guess. Which is, again, not the biggest offense to make. We all get that way sometimes, and maybe you're going through some shit with this person. Maybe you're going through a rocky patch. Maybe it's time to not have that person in your life anymore. But just be aware of... be aware of your own bias and how you approach things. And think on it. Breathe about it. And don't make decisions when you're angry. Really try to give it a little time. Because, you know, that's the most important thing, I feel like, is clarity of thought. You know. With the influence of your instincts. I think that your instincts are definitely to be addressed and trusted. But, you know, try to lead with compassion and steer with your head. I think that's the way to go. And on that humongous laugh, I think we're just going to have to call this episode a wrap because we're 53 minutes and 47 seconds, and I got a lot of other shit I got to do today. So again, guys, sorry it was late. I'd love to tell you that it won't ever be again, but it probably will be. But I'm going to try to get this episode, next episode, to you Sunday or Monday. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who has helped me spread the word of my print sales. And to everybody who supports the podcast on Patreon. And I've mentioned this before, but if you missed it, if you support the show on Patreon and you buy one of my prints, I cover your shipping within the continental United States. I'm happy to do that as a very small thank you. And thank you to those of you who support the show in any other variety of ways, be it just like sharing it with your friends or talking about it or social media, anything like that. And if you want to support the show without costing you anything, maybe just a couple of minutes of your time, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts specifically, and share the show with people. And then also, if you would like to go the extra mile and be one of the operating Scientologists supporting on Patreon, just go to my website, paulodo.com, scroll down about a halfway on the page, and you'll see a link to Patreon there where you can subscribe. And that is greatly appreciated. And this first run of merchandise that I'm going to be doing in the next few weeks here is all going to be paid for by the money that I have got from you guys in your Patreon subscriptions. And that's why all of the Patreon members are going to get the first round of whatever merchandise I come up with for free, because you've paid for it. So that's what it'll be. Guys, you guys, it's guys, you guys, 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 lots of guys in there. That's what she said. Anyway, here we go. This is the end of the podcast. My name is Paul Lodo. Happy birthday to my mom. And all the best to all you guys out there. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for tuning in. Always a delight speaking with you. Yeah, that's about it. So I'll see you guys in a week. This is Paul Lodo, Scientology, episode 85. Do not be afraid. I will talk to you soon.